So the title of today's message is Live by Faith, Not by Sight. I think the screen is there, right? So live by faith, not by sight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we commit this time into your hands, Abba. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We are your children, Abba, and the word is yours. Speak to us, Abba. In your name we pray. So, I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 to 18. So, Abraham went up from Egypt, and he, his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the Negev. Now, Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he journeyed on from Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord, and Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. It is not the whole land before you? Is it not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered, everywhere like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, where Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. So we are looking at the life of Abram, and we are learning lessons from Stephen's speech. And last week, Colin led us through chapter 12. And it was about Abraham's failure and God's grace. Today, what we are going to see is Abraham is tested again, and how he is going to respond to that. Actually, there is a mistake in the slide. I have written it as Abraham, but the name of Abraham is Abram in chapter 13. So we all know these lines. Two roads diverge in a wood, and I chose the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. These are words by Robert Frost in his poem, The Road Less Traveled. So in Genesis chapter 13, we have two men and a fork in the road. So these two men had traveled together, and now they choose to take separate and different paths. One ends up losing his possessions and family, and the other gains blessings and honor. The two men are Abram and his nephew Lot. The context is Abram and Lot are returning with their families from Egypt to the land of Canaan. In chapter 12, we have seen that Abraham is a person who cares about himself, and he is willing to send his wife to Pharaoh to save himself. But in chapter 13, we are seeing a new version of Abraham, wherein we are seeing that Abraham is a person who cares about others more than anything. Now, how did Abraham get his priorities right? So our first point is, worship realigns our priorities. If we read this chapter 13, this chapter begins and ends with Abraham praying at an altar he built. So this altar where Abraham built is in Bethel, that later that is the location where his grandson Jacob met the Lord in a dream, which is mentioned in Genesis chapter 28. And later the Lord is asking Jacob to build an altar over there. So that is mentioned in Genesis chapter 35. And it is believed that it is the same place where Solomon builds the temple later. So going back to chapter 13, what we can see here is from verse 1 to 4, if we read, Abraham goes back to where he last left off his worship. In a land of idol worshippers, he is worshiping a true and living God. Altar means a place of surrender. Towards the end of chapter 12, we can see that in spite of his mistake, God is treating him nicely, and he blessed Abraham even in Egypt. And in the beginning of chapter 13, we are seeing Abraham seeking God's presence, and he is worshiping him. You know, when we do mess up also, God is faithful and his grace is always there for us. And we must always go back to the altar, and we have to seek the presence of the Lord. And worship restores our relationship with the Lord. And towards the end of chapter 13, we see that Abraham makes better decisions when his worship is right with the Lord. It is never how bad or how often you fall in your life. It is all about how fast you return to the Lord. You know, a good sign of how we are growing in grace is how fast we return to the Lord. When we worship, what we do is, rather than focusing on our badness, we are focusing on God's goodness. And worship puts life back in order. We need to seek God's presence daily. Because when the first things are put first, the priorities align and the rest will fall into place. Worship is to say that God is first. And when the first things are first, our lives will be aligned. Worship means being in God's presence, abiding in Him. In our gym group, we Nawaz is teaching us about abiding in his presence. And last week we learned that being in his presence is more important than doing. And our fruitfulness in life is about the degree to which we are abiding. So if you have not been a part of this wonderful study, I request you all to please do join from this week. And when we set our priorities right, we start making right choices. And that is our second point, which is our choices reveal our character. Now in chapter 13, from verse 5 to 14, we can see that the possessions of Abraham were and Lot were so much that the land could not support them. Because of this, we can see that there is a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot. Now, we can see that Abraham is taking the initiative to resolve this issue. And how Abraham responded when conflict and disagreement arose in his family. So what Abraham does is he lets Lot take the decision. See, actually Abraham is elder and the Lord promised the land to Abraham, not to Lot. But we can see from Abraham's character that he is a peacemaker. And being a peacemaker means you have to place others' interests above your own. Now, what Lot is doing here is from verse 10 onwards, it says that he lifted up his eyes and selected the Jordan Valley. And for his physical eyes, that was satisfying. On the other hand, Abraham saw the promised land and he makes a choice to go there. We can see that Lot looked in self-sufficiency and Abraham looked in perfect trust. Both of them make their choices and separates from each other. Like his name, Lot's choices had a lot of consequences. So his choice would prove disastrous because over time it would draw him into Sodom's ways. In verse 12, we can see that Lot pitched his tent near Sodom. And in Genesis chapter 14 verse 12, we can see that Lot is a resident of Sodom. What Lot does is he sees things with his natural eyes and he is disregarding the fact that his choice is dangerous. You know, the choices we make have implications beyond the moment. Like, you know what sin does? Sin always begins with compromise and ends up costing us way more than we wanted to pay and take us further, way far than we ever expected to go and keep us way longer than we expected to stay. And in Genesis chapter 19, we see that Lot is a businessman there in Sodom. So what we have to learn from Lot's story is life is full of choices and the decisions we make decides our destiny. We as children of God must learn to make wise choices. We have to make choices. Sometimes it may be regarding our career or it is about our job or it is about marriage or it can be about our children. And some choices may look good, but they may be spiritually bad. Especially about marriage and all, we need to choose the person according to the word, not according to the world. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says that, do not be unequally yoked with the unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with the lawlessness? So, Lot's story gives us a warning about the choices we make. Also, as believers, we need to be separated from anyone or anything that hinders our being right with Jesus. Especially, we need to be separated from sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says that, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. The Bible says that God will bless a separated life. Also, one more thing is, if anyone present here, if anyone present here hasn't given their life to Jesus, please make a choice today. Today is the day, and please give your life to Jesus. So, going back to Genesis chapter 3, Abraham and Lot now choose to take separate and different paths. Now, what happens to Abraham is our third point. So, our third point is, rest in God's promises and in His provision. So, from verse 14 to 18, the Lord is saying, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give it to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. So what the Lord is doing is, He is restating His promises. He's not only reassuring Abraham about his promises, but He is expanding His promises. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 10 says that, for He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So that means Abraham trusted Lord, and Abraham was looking at the promise giver more than the promises. Also, the Lord is saying to Abraham, lift up your eyes, arise, walk through the land. And Abraham obeys the voice of the Lord. That means the look of faith leads to the walk of faith. Abraham trusted that whatever he wanted or needed could be found in the Lord. And the Lord's restatement of His promise in chapter 13 indicates that, despite Abraham's failure in chapter 12, God's grace continues through His covenant. So towards the end, we can see that Abraham pitched his tent near Mamre, near Hebron. You know, the literal meaning of Mamre is fatness, and Hebron means fellowship. So there again, he builds an altar to the Lord. So the idea is that Abraham has settled down in a place of blessing and closeness to the Lord. He is living a life of close fellowship. So like Abraham, God has promised us a life of glory through His Son, Jesus. He has promised us joy unspeakable and peace that passes human understanding, the supply of all our needs, wisdom and guidance from guidance of his spirit. So these are God's promises for his children. But they really are in us until we personally possess them or apply them to our life. Arise, start walking through the promises lane. Cling to that which is yours. As his children, we are called to worship him and to choose what is right and to reveal his nature to others and to rest in his promises and provision. So today morning, my question is, do we trust God as our provider? Where are we in our relationship and our walk with the Lord this morning? Are we as close as we should be? Is worship is the number one priority in our life? Do we trust in God's promises over our life? Let's examine our heart and pray that, like Abraham, our life and choices will be characterized by our faith and by obedience to the and our obedience to the voice of the Lord. Let's decide that from today, like Abraham, above everything and every circumstances, we will walk and live by faith, not by sight. Shall we pray? Abba Father, thank you so much for speaking to us. Abba, we pray that help us to make you and your presence as the first priority of our life, and give us the wisdom to make wise decisions and reveal your nature to others. Also, help us to rest in your promises and your provision like Abraham. Thank you for your promises that you have over our life through your Son, Jesus, Abba. Holy Spirit, help us to claim and walk in those promises by faith. In your name we pray, Jesus.